This show is brought to you by ERN. Find us online at ernlive.com.
Well, you're listening to The Drive, brought to you by Dodge, Born Dodge. And I will tell you, so I've gotten a Lexus to drive, and after you get out of a violent machine like a Dodge Viper ACR, and you climb into a Lexus. Where's my Lexus info, Brendan? Do me a favor. Is it right under here? Here it is. Okay, it's a, thank you. I have my producer in the room with me. 2016 Lexus RC 200TF Sport two-door coupe. Woo, that's a mouthful. A very nice car. 2-liter twin-scroll turbocharged with intercooler. So you really don't have any idea when you mash down on the pedal what kind of an engine is under the hood anymore because you have twin turbos on four cylinders and, you know, they're kind of quietish. 241 horsepower, 258 pound-feet of torque, 8-speed automatic transmission. But I get out of this violent machine in the Dodge, and I crawl into a Lexus. Now, when you say Lexus, what do you think? You think quiet, comfort, it's like, I don't know how to explain how different these two cars are. Now, the Lexus is a beautiful machine. They've really done a nice job of designing it. But, oh my gosh, what a difference between the violent animal raw just insanity of the Viper and then just the wonderful nature of a Lexus, any Lexus vehicle. They do such a good job. But it's so interesting.
It's like people say, it's like the difference between having lunch with you and having lunch with me.
True. And if you'll stop the drooling and dribbling and not have to wear that diaper that you wear when you go, people wouldn't have that extreme.
You are the violent. You are the violent person across. Gobbling their lunch up.
Yeah, right. Thank you, John.
Will tell you, this Lexus coupe that you are talking about is showing up all over Hollywood. I'm pretty surprised at how quickly it's been accepted into the club, actually.
Yeah, it's really nice.
I'd love to look at the conquest rates, but I think they have picked up a lot of market share with this car.
22 miles to the gallon city, 32 on the highway. Starting price, Monroney price, $39,995. I was surprised because typically I look at a car and I go, all right, I can tell you what that car will cost. And I said, $70,000. And I looked and I was like, wow. Now, as tested with the F-Sport package, blah, 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 all the different things they added, they got it all the way up to 50. So they added $10,000 worth of stuff on this car, which you can do on a lot of cars. But Austin, what do you think of the Lexus RC 200TF Sport? I mean, this car is pretty doggone nice for $39.95.
Yeah, you know, I like it. It's I think people should drive more coupes. Everyone's like, oh well, you can't get into the back seat. How often are you really driving with four people in the car? Yeah. Get something stylish. Get something fun. The RCF stands out, and yeah, that engine's solid. It gets you, you know, it's got some get up.
By the way, and I don't know how to bridge from Top Gear and all the what's going on there to the car I'm testing, which was this Lexus, to evidently you guys at Autoblog wanted to talk about roads made of pig crap. Can we kind of try and bridge that? What's going on there?
Well, I mean, I don't know if we want to talk about it. I just thought you'd like it because it's pretty funny.
Yeah, you know I like crap. That's right. Thank you.
Yeah, there's a team at North Carolina Agricultural and Technical University that found that pig waste has some of the same compounds as oil. And they can't make it into actual gasoline, but they can use it for the adhesive that they use in other petroleum-based stuff like roads.
And so, wait a minute. What you're saying is if you break a dish or your favorite coffee cup, use a little pig crap on that and just glue it back together.
Maybe we'll see that glue, yeah. I mean, I think about it like, you know, everybody loves bacon. Everybody loves barbecue. There's a lot of pig waste because we're growing all these pigs. Let's do something positive with it.
Hold on,
well,
Josh.
Well, I think it would be interesting if you did a huge burnout. What it would smell like. Would it smell like bacon?
Or would it smell worse? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's man. Think of that. The crash scenes would be very smelly. That's pretty crazy. Hey, what do you guys make, by the way, over at Autoblog on this? Just I'm getting everybody's opinion on this Tesla autopilot fatal crash. The autonomous self-driving car these days is still something you got to keep your hands on the wheel and pay attention. Michael, what do you think about what's going on with that?
Yeah, I think it's there's a lot going on with it. I think there's a lot of panic and a lot of different opinions. The thing that people keep forgetting, and you see this in headlines, there's like Tesla autopilot crashes. No, Tesla driver crashes while using autopilot.
Right.
That's the key thing here we got to remember is, yeah, we're getting these things and they're coming out. But right now, you still have to watch the road. You still have to keep your hands on the wheel. Even if the car will keep you in the lane, you know, with you, you know, automatically, that doesn't mean you can totally let go.
Yeah,
the other cars on the road are not interacting with the system. It's just one guy, as you say.
I think what it boils down to is, when you're driving and you're like on the freeway and you know you're distracted for a moment, the car will perhaps, you know, do a few things to keep you from getting in that crash you might have, whether it be to put you back in your lane or apply the brakes a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's still the loose nut behind the wheel's responsibility to, you know, slam on the brakes, to steer his car away from the crash. You shouldn't say, well, the car didn't do it, so that's why I'm here visiting you, God. You know, it's still the driver's responsibility. I don't care. Even when they do have self-driving cars, which Tesla, one of the first to the table with it, but yeah, I think what happens is it's going to make us lazy, like unfortunately this man who lost his life, who was evidently on SEAL Team 6, and God rest his soul, you know. But wow, that was a way, way, way too quick to be turning on the movie and watching a movie while you're driving down the road.
Well, I think the perfect application for a start would be that we're able to use it on the way to Las Vegas, for example. Los Angeles,
right.
Las Vegas.
Right.
That should be the first test spot for people really using self-driving in this manner, because
and
it
Josh,
can be a very controlled area, and usually you get on there, especially from San Bernardino on,
right,
and you're just going to go straight into Vegas. It's a great and what a great place to use it as well.
Right, because
you can read the paper or watch a movie on the way into Vegas. That would be wonderful.
The reason why Josh is saying that, for those who have never driven that road, it is straight and boring. It has very few little turns at all, just, you know, very slight little deviations. And it's a nice wide open highway. So that kind of application, I think, is fine. And I think like the HOV lane, high occupancy vehicle lanes they have in some big cities, I think there'll be a lane that'll be like a smart lane at some point that, you know, somehow will make it a little better. And you can't just use this autonomous driving stuff in normal traffic flow, perhaps, other than what it's doing right now with Distronic cruise control and things like that, where, you know, it follows a car in front. But you're still supposed to watch, you know. It's like take your foot off the gas pedal, but keep it ready for the brake. So I don't know. I don't know what the future holds, but it's sad we've already had our first fatal accident with autopilot. Last thing for Michael Austin real quick. Bonneville Speed Week is back after 2 years. They had problems with water out on Bonneville. Michael, what do you know real quick?
You know, it's finally open. I just thought this was a big, exciting thing for speed. I mean, your Viper probably has too much wing to go out to Bonneville, but it's one of those iconic American things. Nobody else does it. You know, it's a special event that remains in the automotive world that, you know, while we're talking about autonomy, while we're talking about four-cylinder turbos, we've still got this wide open, you know, top speed world record venue.
Yeah. And what do you mean I have too much wing? I mean, in other words, because I can't go top speed because I have so much wing. But my car's not designed for straight line anyway. It's Viper ACR, you know, is designed to be on the track and go twisties. But, yeah, I think a lot of folks in the car hobby have missed Bonneville because it's such a, you know, such a big deal to have not be able to run for 2 years. You're right. It's back to be open again. Go ahead, Josh.
What Michael meant was by too much wing is that you overdo it with the buffalo wings and you're too heavy in the car.
I love you, Josh. I love you.
And
Michael Austin, autoblog.com. Exactly. You can find all the information, including, if you're interested, the roads made from pig crap at autoblog.com. It just shows the breadth and width of information they bring to the table there. Michael Austin is the editor-in-chief. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Great job, as always. We'll be right back with Dan Sandberg, the president and CEO of Brembo Brakes, who's my pal and a car guy like the rest of us. Stay with us.
This show is presented in part by Subaru. Love. It's what makes Subaru a Subaru. We'll be right back.